Tonight's message actually ties in well with this morning's. God knows these things. But God here again continuing to warn and rebuke his chosen people, Israel. And something that we can all learn from tonight. Beginning in verse 1 of Amos 6. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye unto Calne, and see, and from thence go ye to Hamath the Great, and go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day, and cause the seed of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant at the sound of the viol, and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. The Lord God has sworn by himself, saith the Lord the God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob and hate his palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein. And it shall come to pass, if they there remain 10 men in one house, that they shall die. And a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him, to bring out the bones of the house, and shall say unto him that is by the sides of the house, Is there yet any with thee? And he shall say, No. Then shall they say, Hold thy tongue, for we may not make mention of the name of the Lord. Behold, the Lord commandeth, and he will smite the great house with breaches, and the little house with clefts. Shall horses run upon the rock? Will one plow there with oxen? For ye have turned judgment into gall, and the fruit of righteousness into hemlock. Ye which rejoice in a thing of naught, which say, Have we not taken to us horns by our own strength? But behold, I will raise up against you a nation, O house of Israel, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, and they shall afflict you from the entering of Hamath unto the river of the wilderness. So, my title comes from the very beginning. Woe to them that are at ease. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word and how beautiful and applicable it is to our walk here in the church age. And pray as we contemplate these truths tonight, you'd speak to each one of us and have your will and way in our hearts. We are grateful for this service and give it to you and pray in Christ's name these things. Amen. We saw this morning how the Lord asked us to take the blessings of our salvation and go forward and serve him. We saw in Sunday school how Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20 that he doesn't want us to be idle, but he wants us to serve. And now we see here in Amos chapter 6, God rebuking his children and saying, Woe to them that are at ease. This is nothing new for Israel. Way back in the book of Joshua, when God's people were about to finally go into the promised land and had stopped taking cities as they should. Joshua said, How long are ye slack to go to possess the land? How long are you going to hold back and not do what God called you to do? And like I mentioned in Matthew 20, Jesus said to the men, How long, why stand you here all the day idle? So we know that it is not God's will that his children be at ease, but that we work for Jesus. If you would look at Romans 13, God equates it to being asleep or awake. And he's not talking about physically, he's talking about spiritually here in Romans 13. Verse 11, And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. We're told in Ephesians 5 we're to be redeeming the time. And so we've been left here to work. Jesus said, I came to work. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me. We should say the same. I must work the works of him that saved me. And God does not want idleness. And he reveals here in Amos chapter 6 some of the results, if you will, of idleness and of not committing ourselves to serving God like we should. You know, we're told 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're here to work, abound in the work of the Lord. But let's see what happens when we get at ease. Let's go back to our passage, verse 1. The first thing that happens is we will be tempted to trust things other than the Lord. If we're idle, if we're at ease, we're not moving forward, we're not getting things done for God, we are less likely to be trusting the Lord because we have less challenges on a spiritual level. And what could result is what happened here, and they trust in the mountains of Samaria. They weren't trusting God. They were trusting the wrong thing. And this can happen to Christians at any given time. You know, we're told in Psalm 118, verse 8, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. And Jesus said, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. He says in John 15:5, without me, ye can do nothing. But if we're already doing nothing, then we're not relying on the Lord to get things done. And that was the problem here. They were at ease. They were sitting on the Lord's rather than serving God and being a testimony for the Lord like he had commanded them to. And so it led to them trusting in the wrong things, trusting in the mountains of Samaria rather than trusting in the Lord. God says in Jeremiah 17, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. And so one of the first things that happens or can happen when we are at ease is that we trust things other than the Lord. We might trust our job. We might trust our intellect. We might trust our own strength. We might trust our finances, but we're not trusting God. And that's, of course, very dangerous. The second thing that can happen, verse 6, it says, they drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments. When we're not busy serving the Lord, when we're at ease, when we're idle, our focus isn't on pleasing God. Our focus is on ourselves, isn't it? And that's very easy for us to do because that is one of our weaknesses as humans, isn't it? Is we're very self-centered. And when we are idle, we become more self-centered. You know, did you notice, if you know people that don't actually work, they tend not to be really happy. Why is that? Well, I think it's because God designed us to work. He told Adam that in the garden, did he not? You're going to get grain by the fruit of your brow. You're going to have to get, or by the sweat of your brow, you're going to have to plow. You're going to have to work for your food. God designed us to work. And when we don't, we become more inward focused, more pleasing to self. And this happened to Israel and it can happen to Christians. Let me show you an example. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, where God here is warning Israel. This is prior to going into the promised land. But God is warning them about this very danger of getting lax in their service for God and therefore becoming very self-centered. Notice Deuteronomy 8, verse 12. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I'm sure that when God spoke those words through Moses to Israel, they just thought, well, that's not us. We just went through the desert for 40 years. We're about to go into the promised land. Surely that's not us. But that's exactly what happened to Israel, isn't it? As they started getting full, they started getting comfortable, they stopped taking the cities God had commanded them to take. They became very self-centered. And it just led to more and more problems. We get to the New Testament, Revelation chapter 3, turn there. And God gives a similar rebuke to none other than the church, us. Look at Revelation 3, verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel of thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. He's talking to the church. He says, you've become very blind to your need, and you become very self-centered. And so one of the results is of being at ease, as we saw there, firstly, in the verse 1, is trusting things other than the Lord. The second thing is focusing on self rather than pleasing the Lord. But that's not all. Go back to verse 6 of our passage, Amos 6:6. But they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. The third thing that can happen is judgment doesn't bother us anymore. If we, you know, when we got saved, think about back to when you got saved, you definitely believed that hell was real. Or you wouldn't have got saved, right? There's no question. When somebody shared with you the gospel and told you the consequences of sin was to go to hell, you knew that was real, or you wouldn't have gotten saved. But sometimes the longer we're saved, the less real hell becomes, because everybody around us is going there. What are we doing about it? But not only that, the less our own judgment seat of Christ becomes. And we're all going to face it. We're all going to stand before God and give account for what we did with what He gave us, the gifts that He gave us, the time that He gave us, and so forth. But He says they're no longer grieved. Doesn't bother them anymore. And that's what happens when Christians get idle or when they're at ease, is judgment doesn't bother them the way that it used to, even though it's so real. You know, when it comes to the lost, Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They're wide already to harvest. See what I see. They're going to face judgment. But you and I, go to Romans chapter 12, verse 9. God tells us that when it comes to evil, we're told in the Old Testament, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. When we get at ease, judgment and evil doesn't bother us as much. And that's what happened to Israel. Look at Romans 12:9, where God commands us, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil. That word abhor means to hate vehemently. Their hatred of evil wasn't what it was when they first were called out as a people. And that can happen to Christians as well. We should hate evil. We should love the Lord and love God's people and love telling the lost about Jesus Christ and know that we will give account someday. But when we're at ease, we can lose sight of that. And this is what happened to Israel and what can happen to Christians. We start trusting things other than the Lord. We focus on pleasing self rather than God. And judgment just doesn't bother us. Judgment and sin doesn't bother us like it used to. Moving on, verse 10, our fourth result. It says, and a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him to bring out the bones out of the house, and they shall say unto him that is by the sides of the house, is there yet any with thee? He shall say, no. Then he shall say, hold thy tongue, for we may not make mention of the name of the Lord. Are we here to make mention of the name of the Lord? Absolutely. When God called out Israel, what did He say? I want you to be a testimony to the nations around you of what can happen when a nation's God is the Lord. But it didn't last very long, did it? Before they began to push God out of the picture. You say, oh, that'll never happen to Christians, but it does. To where they just don't talk about God like they used to. They talk more about worldly things than they do about God and His things. If you go to 1 Peter 4, God talks about how we're going to give account. Look at 1 Peter 4, 5. It says, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Notice verse 4. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil. You talk about how the world is amazed when Christians' lives actually change. And when you first got saved, it happened to all of us, didn't it? Our friends, they just started falling off. We didn't push them away, but they didn't want to be around us anymore because now we represented the Lord and we were different. But what can happen is a Christian can then go back the other way and start going back to their worldly ways and start pushing God out of the picture. And that's exactly what happened to Israel. You know, when God rescued them from Egypt, it took him not very long to do that, the 10 plagues. But how many decades did it take to get Egypt out of them? Think about it. You know, they got rescued pretty quickly, but they didn't give up Egypt quickly, did they? And Egypt's ways and the memories. And that can happen to Christians too. So, as he says here, the day could come for Israel, and it did. Oh, we're not allowed to talk about Jehovah anymore. How sad. We should be talking about our Lord. And then he finishes there in verse 13, the fifth thing that we see in this chapter that can happen. He says, "Ye which rejoice in a thing of naught, which say, have we not taken to us horns by our own strength?" By our own strength. Once we start pushing the Lord out, then we start believing that we did it. Oh, look what happened. I did that. I accomplished that. That's called pride, and God hates it. And it's nothing new. Go back to Genesis 3. You know, when the devil tempted Eve here in Genesis 3, look what's one of the things he tempted her with, verse 5. "For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and ye shall be as gods." When we first got saved, we knew, I'm nothing. I'm just a sinner. And God loves me so much, He's willing to give me the gift of salvation. I don't deserve it. I didn't earn it. But sometimes, if we get at ease, and this process happens in our lives, we can actually get to the point where we start thinking that we're actually pretty good. And that we actually are accomplishing a lot. Maybe we even believe we're accomplishing a lot for God. But if anything's getting done, it's God that did it. Like we sang this morning, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." He should get all the glory because He's the one that did it. He's the one that gave us the strength. He's the one that gave us the ability. You know, Jesus said, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature?" Can any of you make yourself taller just by willing it to be so? Can any of you tell me how many hairs are on your head? Well, some people can. But those of you that have hair, can you tell? No. God knows these things. But we start thinking we're all right. And so the solution, obviously, never changes, and that is to repent and to come back to serving God. In Sunday school, we talked about the greatest commandment: love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's everything that there is to us. To love Him with everything, which means we are serving Him with everything. If we're not careful, we'll fall into this trap. "Woe to them that are at ease," which will lead to trusting things other than the Lord. It'll lead to focusing on self, to where sin and judgment doesn't bother us like it used to where we start pushing God out of the picture, and then actually start believing that we accomplished something. "If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know," the Bible says. The Bible says, "Neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." God always did it. We've accomplished nothing. Anything that's happened, God did it. And God should get the glory. So we must be on our guard. The devil knows that we are sinners. He knows we're weak. He knows we're self-centered. And if we're not careful, he'll play on that like he did Israel and lead us astray. So we must check ourselves. Am I at ease? Am I taking it easy? Am I cruising my way to heaven? Or am I serving the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Hopefully the answer is the second. Lord, thank you for your word.